Okay, so we're back with the second half of January. Sometimes we are able to go see, you know, I said that sometimes the studios don't want us to see movies. Was I Frankenstein one they didn't want us to see, or did we just...
I Frankenstein is one they did not want us to see.
Okay.
Because I was actually looking forward to it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I was interested in the idea of it. I was interested to see what they were going to do with it. And then I heard what they did with it, and I wasn't so interested anymore.
Yeah, so what ended up happening was that I ended up seeing an early screening copy of it, and I was at home. And now, understand, the movie's 92 minutes. I got 45 minutes into the movie and just had to shut it down. It's really that awful. It is, if you... Well, maybe if you like the Underworld movies.
Underworld series,
yeah.
Yes.
With the vampires and the werewolves, and they're fighting, and it's so dark that you don't care. That's exactly how this felt, and then come to find out Brian's going, well, it's from the makers of, and it's like, oh,
yes.
Great.
Someone was describing the movie to me, and... he didn't know it was from the makers of the Underworld. He's like, yeah, it felt a lot like the Underworld movies. I'm like, well, you do know it's the same team. He's like, oh, yeah, well, that explains it.
Yeah, and...
For whatever that means.
Yes, so it does star Aaron Eckhart, who... the only thing I can think of is Eric Eckhart is trying to follow into the Liam Neeson...
I hope not.
Well, you know, you got to remember that, you know, Aaron Eckhart's now, what, probably 50, right? He needs to become an action hero. Like the Harrison Fords and the Bruce Willises and the Liam Neesons of the world.
You think so?
Well, because that's how these old guys make money. I mean, you don't
true.
Think... I mean, Liam Neeson is making, you know, $10, $15 million a movie.
Right, right. And then when's the last time that we saw Officer and a Gentleman?
Richard Gere?
Was that? Richard Gere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when's the last time we've seen him on screen? It's been a while.
Yeah, and because he does, you know, he's the lawyer or something, and nobody, you know, okay, we'd rather see a younger lawyer. You know, that's really what it comes down to. But for some reason, Liam Neeson right now is the guy working the system, and that's the only reason I can think of why Aaron Eckhart would do this movie. I mean, because he's all, you know, made up throughout the whole thing, but he's very strong, and, you know, he can fight off... Well, okay, the basic storyline here is... the Frankenstein's creature actually wasn't killed. He ends up hiding out for centuries with gargoyles who are protecting him from the demons who are trying to find him. This is really the storyline, people.
Gargoyles and demons?
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, I know. You hate fantasy? This almost made me hate fantasy. I just realized it was just awful, and I was done with it, and I could turn it off. That's the nice thing, because I hate walking out of theaters, but I have no problem turning off my machine. Not at all.
Well, let's see, for me, if we watched these at home, if we had Blu-ray or DVD screeners, I probably wouldn't see about 75% what we see in the theaters. So it's probably a good thing
right.
that it's rude to walk out, because I'd be walking out all the time.
Yeah, now the...
I'd never see the end of a movie.
Yeah, the rest of this is Bill Nighy... Knightley?
Nighy,
okay. And Jai Courtney, he's also in it.
Oh,
who I know you're a fan of, and
yeah.
And then there's some girls, and that's about it. And then a lot of people dressed like demons or gargoyles who have lots of fight sequences that I didn't care a damn about. And that, I mean, I think that's the problem with the movie is I don't even think it's going to do well. At least in the theater, they were captive and had to watch the end. I don't think people are going to get through this. I really don't.
No, I'm like, even the fight scenes weren't well choreographed.
No.
And no great special effects or anything like that.
I mean, the special effects seemed all CGI. I've seen it all before.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's their fighting sequences I didn't care about. It's PG-13, so it was
enough said.
Yeah. So, I Frankenstein is I would much rather sit through two showings of Legend of Hercules than have to watch I, Frankenstein once all the way through. So
wow,
yeah. So that's okay. Yeah, not good. Okay, the second movie we're going to be talking about is actually it's kind of funny. It's called Labor Day,
and which I actually thought was part of like the New Year's Eve Valentine's Day.
Did you really? Franchise. I did not realize that.
No, I didn't.
Okay, because that's funny. That's, you might as well. I mean, it was why they picked Labor Day just because it's a 3-day weekend was stupid. I mean, I'm sure that that was based on a book that no one won.
Right.
God, I can't even imagine somebody reading the whole thing. But okay, anyway, the movie is well, the point I was trying to make is that Kate Winslet was nominated for the Golden Globe Award for this movie last year, but it was never released in 2013. It's actually a 2014 movie, but she was nominated for the Golden Globe for Best Dramatic Actress, which I thought was very strange. But anyway, let's see. The movie, what is it about? Labor Day takes place in 1989 over the weekend before Labor Day. When a young mother and her son, it was Kate Winslet and Gatlin Griffin, harbor an escape prisoner, Josh Brolin. Over the next 5 days, many secrets are revealed in a very slow, at a very, very, very slow pace. And the first thing I got to let you know is that in movies, when they tell me what the date is, or they tell me, you know, like it's Friday, or they tell me it's Saturday the 16th, and I know we're going to, you know, Monday the 18th, I'm counting the days down, especially right. especially one that's as slow as this movie was.
Right, and now I think it's important we need to mention that it was directed and the screen written by Jason Reitman.
Who's I love. I love
who for Up in the Air and Juno.
You know, he's
hits.
An Oscar nominee. I think he's terrific, and so I was looking forward to the movie. And basically,
well, I like Josh Brolin, and I like Kate Winslet.
Well, what's
wrong with my tongue? Kate Winslet. I was looking forward to it as well, even though I knew it was going to have romantic undertones, which I do not like. But I mean, two phenomenal actors, a great director. What wasn't to like? Well, a whole lot.
You know, honestly, I didn't hate the movie. I thought it was, there was a lot that needed to be straightened out. I couldn't understand why they had James Van Der Beek and Tobey Maguire and the guy who in Oz who was the
J.K. Simmons.
Yes,
J.T. Simmons. Total wasted character.
He comes over at one point and goes, "Hey, I got some peaches for your mom," and he gives him the peaches and leaves and never comes back.
Yeah, and he's so good in everything he does, and it's just wasted.
Well, you're just sitting there waiting for these actors to come back in. James Van Der Beek is in what, two scenes,
if that.
Yeah, maybe it was just the one. And then come to find out, Tobey Maguire is actually the voice over the kid,
little character. Kid. Yeah.
So you're just sitting there going, "What in the hell is happening?" And then of course, Kate Winslet has had this terrible relationship with the son's her son's father, who left her for a younger woman. I think it was a secretary, and now they have a bunch of kids, and she's suffering depression. So, so what happens is Josh Brolin actually kind of kidnaps them and takes them back to the house. But he's not really kidnapping them. He's trying to find some place to stay. He seems like a really...
right. Well, he was in jail for a prison. He was in prison for murder.
Right.
And whenever they ask him about it, he's always like, "Well, there's always two sides to his story," and then that slowly uncovers itself with various flashbacks throughout. And then you realize, you know, why he ended up killing his wife, and it really doesn't make it any better. Because he still should be serving his time, and
right.
He is an escaped convict, and
sure, but what happens is Kate Winslet falls madly in love with him in about
Treats her boy right
3 or 4 minutes, Yeah. Oh, you mean when he's holding the gun to his head?
Yeah.
But it happens. Actually, that's the fastest thing that happens in the movie is how fast she falls for him, and of course, ultimately we know that this is never going to work out because he's an escaped convict. The police are looking for him, and well, things happen. But the worst thing that happened was, I think it was Sunday, they decided, hey, look, J.T. Simmons brought over some peaches. Let's make a pie.
Yeah,
and so. The three of them are sitting around, well, standing around the table in the center of the kitchen, and it looks like a scene out of Ghost with the pottery scene.
Oh, yeah.
He's going, oh, now when you put your peaches in there.
He's standing behind her
and he's,
with his hands and, right,
ooh, and they're
massaging the peaches.
Oh, really, put that sugar into those peaches. Oh, yeah. And the kid's like going, here, let me eat in there. And they're all like, they've got peach goo all over themselves. And Brian's going, oh, my God, if it was raining, it would be, what was it?
Nicholas Sparks movie.
Nicholas Sparks movie. And that's really how it felt. It was so, first of all, it was the longest. I've never seen anything on the Food Channel where they had to take that long to make a pie. You know, usually.
Well, that's because all the prep work's done backstage.
I know, but you know, come on, people. This is a movie here. It's already running too long, and now you want to take forever to make a pie.
To make a pie, yeah.
Oh, it was rough, but at least we got some giggles out of that, which nobody around us appreciated. But come on, you had to. But the worst part for me was, we get to Monday, which of course is Labor Day, and I'm thinking, oh good, the movie's just about over. And then all of a sudden it goes Tuesday, and I was pissed. Fortunately, we didn't go to Wednesday, but I was pissed. Not enough to hate the movie, but I wasn't very happy with the movie.
No,
at that point.
No, that was kind of a jip right there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're coming to, it's getting towards the end, you know it's towards the end, we've already seen them make the pie.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to end on Monday, and then it's Tuesday, and you just kind of,
oh my God, this could go on longer. I don't have my phone. I don't know what time it is. So it kind of took me down. Now, on this, I gave it 2 stars. Because, you know, I like romantic movies, even with the pie scene, and Brian gave it 1 star because he really didn't like the pie scene.
No.
So
absolutely not.
Okay, now the last movie we're going to be talking about, and this is what I'm talking about when I mention about how January is. We had a total of 7 movies. Well, actually, 6 movies that they let us see, and then the I, Frankenstein that I saw later. So most months will have somewhere between 8 and 12 movies, theatrical big releases, and January is, you know, ugh. So finally, the last movie we saw in January was called That Awkward Moment. Now, this is a movie that has, let me get it down, it's Zac Efron, who plays the sexy hot guy, kind of the player. Then his friends are played by, it's Miles Teller, who's kind of the, I'm kind of chubby, or I'm going to be chubby, or I might be chubby, but I'm the best friend sidekick. He's the funny one.
Yeah, he's the Vince Vaughn character.
No,
he was
not.
Vince.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, no, that's
just mean.
What's that?
That's mean. He's not the Vince Vaughn character.
Yeah, he's not necessarily attractive, but he gets the girls with his personality.
He's the Seth Rogen character.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay. Well, he does finally kind of attract the girls because he is kind of charming and he's funny, but he still has that face. And then you got,
as does Vince Vaughn.
Yes. Whatever. Then you got Michael B. Jordan, who plays, he's the black man in the group of three, and he's pining over his ex through the most of the movie. Well, at least through the start. Was he the nurse or was she the nurse? He was the nurse, wasn't he?
I think they might have been
both nurses.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So basically what happens is the awkward moment that they're talking about is when you're in a relationship and the girl says to you, so what? Where are we going with this? What's happening with us? And so the guys make a vow, since Michael B. Jordan's character has just been dumped, that they're just going to play the field. They're going to find girls and just have lots of sex. and not get involved with any of them, and just have some fun. And of course, this is an R-rated movie, which was refreshing. We were both really excited about that because it's a romantic comedy from a male point of view, and it's rated R. So we know we're going to get nudity. We know we're going to get bad language. It's just going to be sloppy, drinky sex, and it's Animal House. Not really, right. But that's what we're hoping for. And of course, it kind of rom-commed out a little bit. Before too long, everybody's falling in love, not telling the other ones that they're falling in love, and to the point of where they all end up breaking up and falling in love again because they realize that they were so wrong, and the girls are all pissed at them. But I did like the movie because we do get way too many female point of view rom-coms.
Well, and I think the issue I had with this one, and because it does start out a rom-com from a male perspective, sure, like a Judd Apatow movie, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. But towards the end, it almost felt like I was tricked. Because it turned into a girl romantic comedy.
I know.
Women come in, they fix up the men, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Okay, my nipples just got hard. Okay. Yeah. It's exactly what I needed in this movie. But I knew that when it was happening that you were going to be going, oh, God, why do they have to ruin it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Brian's idea of a really good movie is no relationship at all.
Or they break up at the end, or everyone dies, or something like that. Yeah.
Terms of Endearment, great ending. So ultimately, once all was said and done with this movie, I gave it 3 stars, which was probably a little high, or maybe I was a little high.
You were a little high, yeah.
And you gave it 1 star. I like the maleness of it, but then they brought it in with the girly ending, which I like too. So,
right. Well, there you go. For you, it was the perfect movie because sure, you got your male vulgarity, and then they tied it up with the prank little pink ribbon at the end with the.
I love that. I do. So anyway, that was January 2014, we'll be back next time talking more about, we'll be talking about February, and February was actually a really decent month with what we consider an Oscar contender already so soon in the year for Best Animated Feature. So we'll be back next time talking about February. That's it. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.